Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Patsy. Let's pray as we come to God's word and hear from him. Lord, please do speak to us now. Please may you, through your word, show us what is true, that we can really lean on it and trust in it. Lord, ask us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, those of you who know me for a long while know that I have an ongoing battle with my weight. It turns out I'm really, really good at losing weight. I'm actually really good. The problem is I'm even better about putting it back on. And that's why I sort of flip-flap all over the place. And if you're like me, you will know that going to the doctor fills you with dread. It doesn't matter what ailment you have. You might have cut your finger, but the doctor will then say, oh, it may be because you're overweight. And what the worst part is, the doctor asks you to go and weigh yourself on the machine that will tell him or her how much you weigh and what your height is. And that just awful thing, the BMI. And the worst part about my doctors is, in their genius, they have placed the weighing machine right in the main hall where everyone can see your shame. They can notice you trying to sort of slip off extra socks and things like that to shed any weight you can. And then it's also directly in front of the receptionist you're then going to have to talk to, who's just seen your weight. It's appalling. And then even worse than that, you see, you dread what the machine will tell you, and then you fear what the doctor will say. Once I went to the doctor and he said, David, you are medically grossly obese. I said, well, hello to you too. And in fact, I got so cross, I thought, well, let's get outside and have a run, shall we? Shall we see who's faster? Anyway, I was very upset. And so basically, then also your heart sinks at what you're going to have to do as a result. You're going to have to diet. And that's when life goes from high definition to black and white. Everything becomes Rivita with Marmite. Well, I mention that, but perhaps that feeling I have about going to the doctors is what you feel like when you come to church and look at your seat and discover it has a piece of paper on there saying Giving Sunday 2023. That idea of, oh my word, I dread what I'm about to hear. I fear what David's going to say. And my heart sinks at what this means I'm going to have to do. But I want to encourage you today that God's word shows us a different picture. And actually, you know this if you've been a Christian any length of time. That whilst that's your immediate reaction, the reality is that giving is good for you. It brings blessing. We're going to see in our passage today that giving our stuff away will make us wiser, will make us healthier, and will make us less stressed. So we look at those three things: wiser, healthier, and less stressed. But before we do that, let me tell you a story from when Katie and I, quite early in our marriage, when we went off to theological college and I returned to being a student. And that meant that Katie and Samuel, our newborn, and I were dependent on a student's income for about 3 years. And we felt it was really hard and really tough. And everyone at theological college all complaining about how little money we had and all the rest of it. And we're really stressed about the future and could we afford bills coming in. So basically, we're miserable. And the Lord then put on case in my heart, I don't know what, how it came about, but put on our heart that, well, then the answer is to give some of your money away. And that seemed mad. What, when you're short of money, why would you give money away? That doesn't seem wise. Why would you do that? But we thought, okay, though we don't have enough money, we'll start giving money away. For ages, we're justified. Well, obviously, nobody expects us to give money away. We're students. But we started giving money away, and you know, two things happened at once. One is, we stopped complaining about stuff. We just became thankful. Because we started thanking God for all that he'd given us, rather than getting upset about all the things we didn't think we had. And the other thing was, we became, this is really odd, less stressed. Because giving had required us to say, well, we're going to trust you, God, for our future, not our money. We actually found that God was more trustworthy than our money. And whilst we trust in money, we're always anxious it would run out. But when we trust in God, we knew he would never run out. And that really is what actually we're going to discover in our passage today. And so the first thing we see is that giving makes us wiser. Look at verses 19 to 20. If you've got Bibles in front of you, turn to Matthew 6, 19 to 20. But I'm going to read it out to you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. That means like money, possessions, things, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. This is making the obvious point that everything in this life will eventually fade and fail. Verse 20, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. So basically the point here is use what you have to build what will last forever and what won't. Let me give you a little story. One time we as a family were going on a holiday, I think it was. Somebody had offered us their flat in Spain. And so we're there in the departure, ready to go through the gate. And I went through the gate and I put my bag through the x-ray thingy. And I was pulled over. And they said, sir, what is that there? I could tell everyone it was a jar of Marmite. Because you don't go on holiday without a jar of Marmite. That would be irresponsible and foolish. So you can't carry that here, sir. That's a liquid. Well. And so it got taken away. Can you imagine how upsetting that was? A whole holiday without Marmite. But the point was that it wasn't going to make it through to the other side. I lost anything that wasn't going to make it through. I was a stupid idiot for putting the Marmite in there. It was extra weight. I could have put something else in there, like a Twix or something. And I lost it anyway. Well, in the great departure lounge of life, when we die, nothing material will make it through. But if we've used what was material in this life to build what is eternal, it will get through to the other side. In other words, wisdom is found in using what we have to build what will last forever, not to keep on buying what will fade. You know that disappointment you have when you order something from Amazon or somewhere eBay, and it really isn't as good as you wanted. You end up never really using it. I did that recently with some insoles. That's how exciting my life is. Or you clear out a cupboard and you find things you hardly ever use. You feel, well, that costs money. I feel like a bit of an idiot. So in any other ways, really what we want to do is spend our money on things that we know won't make us feel like an idiot when we get to eternity, when we get to meet Jesus. You know, we're going to get to meet Jesus and we're going to have with us all the things which have endured the grave. But some of us will have been so focused on the things of this life that we'll just stand there with nothing. Others of us will have eternal things that we have carried through beyond the grave. So what does it mean to build, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven? Well, it simply means use what you have now to buy what will last forever. And actually, giving to the local church is one of the ways in which you can invest in what is eternal. Why is that? Well, because we're about saving people's lives for eternity. The good news of Jesus, that if they put their trust in Jesus, they will be forgiven, and so death will not be the end for them. Every time someone comes to faith, and that means that something eternal has been created. And if your money went to help do that, that is yours in eternity. Not they aren't yours, but that sense of, oh, I've achieved something eternal. We're also in St. Patrick's building a family that will last beyond the grave. The Bible tells us actually our biological families won't necessarily last beyond the grave, but our spiritual family, our church family will. And we're offering in our worship together and on our own a praise that will echo through all of time. I went to a gig on Friday night because that's the kind of guy I am in Camden Town to go and see a metalcore band. Just what a vicar. Anyway. Like you look through Spotify, you're basically listening to a bunch of songs that won't make it past the grave. But you come to church and you will hear songs, not that we'll be singing for eternity, but you'll be hearing a worship that will endure forever. So it is wiser to invest in the things of eternity. And St. Patrick's is one of them. Not the buildings, but our mission, our fellowship. Second, it's healthier. Look at this. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And you're probably thinking, well, what is that about? Well, imagine for the moment that your eyes are like windows. Imagine you're in a room with a window looking out. And just choose a nice scene, something you like. And what is happening is, the light outside means that you see that beautiful thing, maybe a flower, a person, a view, a tree, whatever it is, a car. And it's beautiful. How is it? Because the light hits it and comes through the window into your building, right? Well, Jesus is telling us that our eyes act like windows, that we see things of beauty, we see the stuff we have, and when God's light shines on it, that light comes into our hearts. But here's the thing. If you remove the sun, if you remove the moon, if you remove the stars, there is no light outside at all, then it doesn't matter how beautiful the things are outside your window. Your window is dark, and so you're dark inside. And what Jesus is telling us is that when we take God out of the equation of the things we have, when we take the light of his glory out of them, things which with him are beautiful and will fill us with light become darkness. When God is in the picture, we see everything, all these beautiful things, as gifts from him. And we see that because they're gifts from him, he will keep on giving. And so we can be generous. That word, which healthy is there, means generous. But if we take God out of the equation, suddenly those things become things we want to hold on to. They become ours. We become like Gollum and are precious. And then we become scared of running out. And so our hearts become closed and cramped in and stingy. When we look at our things and see God's glory, our hearts are filled with light because our eyes are looking generously. So we are wiser, we are healthier, but we're also less stressed. I love this. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, verse 21. And then verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. That's an obvious point, isn't it? We've all been, maybe some of us been in situations where it's not clear who's in charge, and it's a horrible situation. And Jesus goes on to say, you cannot serve both God as your master and money. He means here more than money, he means all that you have. And then he goes on to say, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. When you worship the things God gives rather than God who is the giver, you will feel anxious. You'll always feel anxious because you'll make them your master. They will become your savior and your lord. And the problem with them is that we've seen they're all going to fade or fail or pass away. You'll never have enough, and you'll know one day that you'll lose it all. So how do you stop worshipping money as your God? How do you stop worshipping your things as your God? How do you break their grip on your heart? Well, the answer is, you can't worship something that you keep giving away. You can't put your trust in something and give it away. So if you give your money away, it's a way of then deciding you're going to trust God instead. That's what we found when we were students, that by giving our money away, our money lost its power to rule our hearts. Our possessions lost their grip on our hearts. We were less stressed. But rather than trusting in things which would fail and fade, we trust in the one who will never fail and never fade. So that's what it is. Giving will make you wiser, it will make you healthier, and it will make you less stressed. But today we're thinking in particular about giving to St. Patrick's, and this is where I'm going to sort of focus a little bit on our sort of focus for the next few weeks. We're only preaching on it this Sunday, but we'll be referring to it quite a bit over the weeks ahead. Giving money to God's work at St. Patrick's is a key part of our worship. It's our way of showing God and showing ourselves and showing others how great we think he is. That's what I think is amazing about Centre Forward. I think somebody walks past that, sees that new building, and if they find out that it was all sort of basically bought by people at St. Patrick's giving money, they're going to say, wow, they really value God and his work. But he also uses our worship to help us join with him in his work of saving the world. He uses our money to help us join with him in his work of saving the world. He uses it in our worship to encourage us. He used our money in our fellowship, binding us together through our home groups and social activities like the amazing Harvest Supper, where we had over 100 people last week, where he uses that to equip us and shape us. He uses our service, like Stay and Play, where we've just seen in the third week we had 18 kids. Or Lunch Club, we've been running Hymns We Love, which is this course looking at the gospel, where loads of people have been part of it. He uses all the ways we serve, whether it's tea and coffee or helping out with children's groups or with Cameo or anything else, to reach out to others. He uses money to finance God's mission here. So what is our situation? Well, we have basically two challenges and two gifts from the Lord. The first challenge is, as you saw in the video, we're looking at, in terms of our income and expenditure, setting aside our reserves for the moment, a shortfall of about £50,000. Well, you might think, well, how did that happen? Well, for three very simple reasons, and I think good reasons. The first is that for the last 10 years, we focused all of our appeals for money on Centre Forward, on building the centre. And so we've only had one appeal in the last 10 years. And that is why, if you compare our level of giving now, leaving Centre Forward out of it for the moment, our level of giving to general church funds now to 10 years ago, it's the same. That's not correcting for inflation. It is the same in absolute money. But on the other side, the second fact is, of course, inflation over that period. I'll put it into the Bank of England calculator. You can do this. You go to August 2013 and August... August 2013 and August 2023, inflation has gone up by 33%. In fact, the level of increase in giving we're talking about is much lower than that. We're very good at saving money. So firstly, we haven't had an appeal for 10 years. Secondly, our inflation over that same period. And thirdly, because we are spending more because we want to use the new centre and mission. That's challenge number one, the £50,000 shortfall. Challenge number two is the work we need to do in the church. You saw that on the video. We need to do something about this front area. We've been told we have to replace the covering here. You might think, well, that's not much that expensive, but it is. They require certain levels of carpet. But also, we want to use this opportunity to clear up the mess here and to create an accessible route up to the main part here for people in wheelchairs and people who struggle with steps. We also want to create a handrail and a bigger step so that those who are unsteady on their feet can come up and receive communion here, especially 8 o'clock and 3 o'clock, without being frightened. Secondly, we need to do the sound system. It's starting to get some issues. It needs upgrading before it fails, because sound is so important in our church family, both for people here and those on the loop here, but also live streaming. But also so it'll make it easier to train up new people. And we need to replace these lights. And the main reason for that is because of directives from up on high, you can no longer buy these sorts of bulbs. And so we're going to run out. And so we need to replace them with LED. It's a great opportunity as well, because we can save money in costs. So those are the two challenges, the shortfall and the urgent work here in church. But then there are two gifts the Lord has given us. We have reserves, financial reserves, through careful planning, through the fact that we haven't had our full complement of staff for a while now. And our reserves fall into two parts. One is what we call our emergency reserves. We have them in case everything goes belly up and we need to pay salaries for, I think it is, 3 months and bills for 2 months. Or it's the other way around. It's one of the two. But in addition to that, we have reserves of £100,000. It's good news, isn't it? And the hope is we'll use those reserves for the work that needs to be done here in church. There's not much point in using it for our regular giving, because at a £50,000 shortfall, it will get eaten up overnight. But the second gift is the faith God has given you, that we saw in Centre Forward. God has made you good at giving, both you at home and you here. You have a gift for giving. That's amazing, isn't it? Something to be proud of. Delight in the Lord that he's given you that gift. But it's funny about the gift of giving. People treat it differently from every other gift. If you have a gift in praying, nobody thinks, well, I've done that now, I'm going to stop now. I did a really big prayer session, or no more prayer now. They think, great, I'm a good prayer, I'm going to keep doing that. Well, the same is true for giving. Now, what does that mean in terms of response? How can you respond? Well, for some of you, things are really tough at the moment. And maybe you're not giving. You can only decide to give what you think is a relatively small amount. But the Lord just cares about the heart that gives, that wants to give, not the amount. Or some of you are already giving and saying, actually, I need to pull back a bit or keep it the same. But others of us are going to need to step up and give some more. So how can we respond? Well, the first thing, just pray. Pray to the Lord about your money. And then secondly, do read these natty little envelopes here. There are some named ones at the back if you're part of our mailing system. If you're not, there's some ones which are unnamed. Do make sure you leave with one of these. It's really important. They are in addition to the nice coloured one we've produced. This sort of basically recaps what I've said this morning. There's also a covering letter from me. Then there's a short devotional reflection from Martin Haywood. And do use that. And then there's a response form and an envelope. Next week we'll be putting these in the main envelopes as well, so people picking them up next week and afterwards can do so. If you're on the live stream, we're going to be emailing out a link from during church chat this week, so do access it through that. So how can you? So the first thing is, please do consider the response form and fill it out. It means that we can then budget when we know what you're committing to. Even if you're keeping it the same, please fill it out. And you can give either regularly through the collection boxes at the back or the tap and go machine, but even better, bank transfer or regular standing order. Do go away and pray about this. Whether you're at home or here, pray about how the Lord is calling you to use your money to build what is eternal. And do take this opportunity to respond. I should say, if you want to go even deeper, and I encourage you this, in thinking about giving, Martin's produced a longer version, which is also available at the back, but it's not in the envelope. So do pick that up And if they run out, please do contact the office and they'll email them to you. Let's finish with a prayer as we come to an end. Lord, I do pray that you would bless us as we go forward from hearing your word, that you would give us courage not to think as the world does, but to think as you call us to start giving our money, that we might be wiser in how we use it, that we might be healthier as we look, gaze on your glory and gaze on the things we have in the light of your glory, but also, Lord, to be less stressed. And Lord, we do pray that you'll bring this money in to St. Patrick's. Lord, we need you first and foremost. And we pray that you would bless us through giving us the financial resources to do the work you called us to do. Lord, thank you for the times you've done it in the past. I'm so grateful to you, Lord. And we pray that you would do so again now. Amen.